The title for this conference is the Seventh Beatitude, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We might translate this particular beatitude, blessed are they who produce right relationships in every sphere of life. They shall be truly godlike. This particular beatitude is at the very heart of the purpose for Jesus Christ coming on earth. God came to earth primarily to be a peacemaker. And therefore, peacemaking is the goal of spiritual maturity. When we are peacemakers, we have become creators along with God. The primary purpose and vocation of Jesus was to reconcile the world to God and to reconcile people on earth who had become alienated from one another. This is what we mean by a priest. A priest is a reconciler or an alienator. A priest is anyone who is able to take two parties that have become alienated from one another and is successful in bringing them together and reconciling them. The human race had become alienated from God through sin. And Jesus came on earth to overcome this alienation and to bring about a reconciliation between the human race and God. And not only was there alienation between God and ourselves, but through the sinfulness of the human race, there occurred many forms of alienation between various members of the human race, between different races, different nations, different groups, different ages. The reconciliation of all of these alienated parties was the major task that was assigned to Jesus when he came to earth. In this beatitude, we are told that God wishes us to participate in this same priestly work of reconciliation and peacemaking that was given to Jesus Christ. This is accomplished basically by the injection of the power and energy of love into the area where the alienation has occurred. We might think of it as Jesus Christ pumping love, new love, God's love, into this situation where there was alienation and separation between people and God, between one person and another. And by the injection, the pumping of fresh love into the situation, there would be a reconciliation occurring. Peacemakers, therefore, by their contribution of love, are able to create a new relationship of love that did not exist before. For this reason, there is a real danger in the work of peacemaking that a human being will take credit for this new creation that has been brought about through peacemaking, instead of realizing that we are just agents of God's love, that it is God's love that we are using to bring about reconciliation. We must see ourselves as co-creators with God when we introduce this new element of love into the world where it did not previously exist. Because this is such a powerful force, we are sometimes tempted to imagine this power to be our own, to forget that it is entirely the work of God. St. Augustine, and later St. Thomas Aquinas, defined peace as the tranquility of order. Peace is that state of being where everything is in its proper order, where God and the things of God are always put in the first place. Therefore, peace is the situation where truth, justice, freedom, and love prevail. These are God's priorities, and they must never be compromised in order to buy some temporary peace. It is never a question of peace at any price. Some things are more important even than peace. Just as the angels on Christmas Day sang that there would be peace on earth to those people who had goodwill, that this is why Jesus came. And just as Jesus, the very first word that he uttered after his resurrection was peace or shalom to his disciples, so it is our duty as disciples of Christ, as Christians, to create peace in the earth. This particular task of peacemaking is probably the most important task that Christians have today. Because if we fail in our work of peacemaking, mankind will destroy itself. And there are three areas where we must work at peace. Peace within ourselves, peace with God, and peace with our neighbor. Our peacemaking, therefore, must begin within ourselves by ridding our hearts of everything that is alienated from God and God's will, everything that makes war on God's will. If our own hearts are at peace with God, with ourselves, and with our neighbor, then our very presence among other people will bring about an atmosphere of peace among them. It is only when we have created this harmony, this tranquility of order within ourselves, when we have established the right priorities, when we have placed God first and the doing of God's will rather than our own will, that is the only time that we can expect to have this inner peace. A part of inner peace is a serene acceptance of ourselves as we are. This inner peace is present when we are aware of our own worth, of our lovableness, of our godlikeness, our basic goodness, despite the many things in ourselves which we do not like. We must not be afraid to face up to the full truth about ourselves, willing to look at the blind sides of our personality, the dark shadow, the unlived life which we keep repressing. We must be willing to admit even the worst about ourselves without losing hope and without losing our peace of soul and our trust in God's mercy and God's forgiveness. We must be willing to expose the full truth about ourselves and to allow others to know the full truth about ourselves. Because of our great love and appreciation of the truth. Willing to accept ourselves as we are and not as we would like to be. Able to love ourselves as we are in the same way that God loves us, no matter how much sin or evil or faults may be found there. Besides peace with ourselves, our next step is to establish peace with God, which means to have our sins forgiven, to experience God's mercy and forgiveness, to know that God has forgiven us and that God loves us as we are, sins and all, that we are His children and that He will take care of us. To be at peace with God means to be at peace with these four attributes of God: His truth, His justice, His freedom, and His love. To be at peace with truth means that we are not afraid of truth, but have an all-consuming desire for truth. As Jesus says in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We must have such a tremendous love of truth that we are willing to pursue it at any price, never avoiding truth regardless of the cost or consequences, an overwhelming love of truth. Actually, truth is more important than goodness. It is better to be truthful even than it is to be good. You cannot be good until you have that basic foundation of truth and honesty. This is what is called authenticity. Secondly, we must be at peace with justice, which means ready and willing and striving to give to everyone what is due to that person, never cheating or depriving others of what belongs to them, regardless of the cost or consequences to ourselves. This love of justice must be such that wherever we see an injustice in the world, as well as in our own conduct, that we will leave no stone unturned to remedy that injustice, to establish the right order. Because as peace is defined, the tranquility of order, there can be no real peace until we have established justice. Thirdly, if we are to be at peace with God, we must be at peace with freedom. And this means to respect the freedom of others, never to use force or compulsion or fear to get others to do something that they don't really want to do. We must be content to appeal only truth and justice and love to encourage them to make the right choice. Our love and respect for freedom should be so much that we are willing to die for not only our own freedom, but for the freedom of others as well. Fourthly, if we are to be at peace with God, we must be on peaceful terms with love and recognize the all-importance of love, love of God and love of neighbor, willing to pay any price, including again the sacrifice of our life, in order to go out in love and loving service to others. If we are successful in establishing peace within ourselves, establishing the right order and the tranquility of that right order within our own life, if we have been successful in establishing a true peace between ourselves and God, to overcome whatever there is that has alienated us from God and the things of God, which includes such things as truth, justice, freedom, and love. As long as we have been successful in these first two areas of peace, peace within ourselves and peace between ourselves and God, then we are in the right situation to be a good peacemaker here on earth. We are now equipped to go out into the world just as Jesus came on earth to be a peacemaker and to begin to create this right order among the different human relationships, whether it be between the blacks and the whites, between the Jews and the Arabs, between the people of Northern Ireland and the people of Southern Ireland, and so on and on. We will become successful peacemakers only if we have succeeded in creating inner peace within our own life and if we are at peace with God. Our efforts at peacemaking should begin wherever we find ourselves. Begin with the particular human relationships that are a part of our daily life, which means the person to whom you might be married, your children, your parents, the people with whom you work, the people with whom you associate in your daily life. If we are to carry out this task of the seventh beatitude, we should look around us to see where there is any alienation, where people are not working together peacefully and lovingly, where there is a lack of love. And then we ask ourselves, how can I inject some new love into this situation that is now alienated, and thereby bring about a reconciliation? We cannot expect always to be successful. Jesus Christ himself was far from successful in his efforts at peacemaking. He was not able to overcome the alienation that the Sadducees had for the Pharisees. He was not able to overcome the alienation that Jews had for the Gentiles. He was not able to overcome the alienation that so many of these leaders of his own people had for him. And yet he tried and was willing to give his life to overcome this alienation and to bring about a reconciliation. And that is our task. We began at home. We began wherever we find ourselves, and we start injecting new love into the situation, helping people to love one another because of our great love for them. We know that Jesus, in his efforts at peacemaking, refused to use violence. He respected the freedom of others and called them to peace, but never tried to force peace upon them. This refusal to use violence on others is based on the conviction that every human being is capable of great love, that every human being, as a creature of God, is basically good, that there is good in every person, that injustice and hatred and selfishness are against nature. No matter how thick the crust of these faults may have become in a person, we must believe that there is still a core of inner goodness in every person. And we try to appeal to that through our own love that goes out to that person. And that means the willingness to love even unto death. As Jesus said, greater love than this no one can have than one who is willing to lay down one's life for others. We find sometimes that if we are willing to stoop low enough and to enter into some kind of an exchange of love with another human being, that thereby we are able to inject sufficient love into the situation to overcome that person's hatred and anger and selfishness, and to bring about a conversion, to bring about a reconciliation, a restoration of the right order, the tranquility of order that we are looking for. If we are to be good peacemakers, we must be willing to tolerate the differences of attitude, the differences of opinion, the differences of temperament, the differences of worldview. Different people look at things in different ways. And it is not necessarily that the other person is wrong and I am right, or that the other person is right and I am wrong. They're simply different ways of looking at the same reality, different worldviews. We must be willing to accept this, to accept people as they are, and give ourselves entirely to that person as that person is, accepting their particular way of looking at things, and help them in their own worldview to find peace, to find this reconciliation, this tranquility of order. And we do this, again, by constantly injecting new love, accepting their freedom, avoiding violence, avoiding threats or fear, but to be humble-minded in our own convictions, realizing that no matter how certain we are that our way is the right way, that we could be mistaken. We don't know everything. We do not ever know all the facts. It is always possible that those who disagree with us are nearer to the truth than we are. And so we must be tolerant of others and of their differences with us. We try to identify ourselves with others and see things from their point of view, to get into their skin, to walk in their shoes, to understand them and sympathize with them, and never to take advantage of their weakness or our own superior knowledge or skill or strength, but always to respect their human dignity and their freedom, no matter how little they might respect ours. Never any seeking of revenge. Never any returning evil for evil. As St. Paul says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Shortly before Carl Jung's death in 1961, someone asked him at a workshop, is there any hope of preventing a nuclear war between the East and the West? The response that Jung gave, I think, is just as appropriate today as it was. Jung said, yes, there is one hope. He said, the basic problem for the alienation and the hostility between Russia and the West is that we project upon Russia our own negative shadow, and Russia in turn projects upon the West, and especially upon the United States, its own rejected, unconscious, negative shadow. Jung said the only hope for peace is that if enough individuals, both in the East and the West, are willing to take back their projections and to accept ownership for their own negative shadow, that he said, it's just possible that the world will be able to squeeze through and be able to prevent the nuclear holocaust. Therefore, every one of us is able to make a contribution to world peace. It is not a question of simply expecting the world leaders to resolve their differences. Every individual is a peacemaker, even at the international level. Every one of us is capable of making a very positive contribution to world peace. And this will happen if we begin, each one of us, to accept ownership for our own negative shadow, discovering those particular evils and faults and dispositions within our unconscious that we are now projecting upon other people. And if we accept ownership for them and work with them and try to transpose the energy behind them into the energy of love, then we can make a very substantial contribution to world peace. Another way would be to send out every day from our heart waves of love and mercy and forgiveness, waves of peace to all the peoples of the world, and especially to the world leaders, both in this country and in Russia. And through those vibrations of love and peace, we will be making a substantial contribution, as best we can, to the establishment of world peace.